Hey, I'm sure that along life's way that you have probably encountered somebody who was just full of pride. Those weren't always the best people to be around, were they? Well, today we're going to take a look at another one of the characteristics of the Father. Now, I mentioned pride just a moment ago, but the opposite of pride is actually humility. So that's what we want to look at as far as a Christ-like character and becoming more like Him. So grab your Bible, turn it over to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day is coming along nicely. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're actually going to look at another characteristic, Christ-like characteristic, as we become more like Him. And that characteristic is humility, but humility also leads into servanthood, which I think is one of the greatest characteristics and qualities that you and I can have as we follow our Savior. I mentioned we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 3. Once again, that's Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, and it reads like this. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would open our hearts and that you would open our minds to your word. We pray, Father, that you would truly help us to understand the characteristic of humility and servanthood that can be truly found in you as you exemplified that for us. Lord, I pray that for each and every listener that you would open our hearts to your word, open our ears to your spirit. And Father, I pray that as your messenger for these moments that you truly would be high and lifted up, that you would use me as your servant to bring about the word that needs to be heard by your people. So bless our time together, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at this passage, one of the things I always like to try to do is kind of look at things in a maybe a question answer form, particularly when we're doing Bible studies such as we are today. But as we look at our passage today or our text for today, what does Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 say about our interactions with other people? I think this is huge because you know what? Today it just seems like we have a tough time interacting with others and being able to get along. You're probably going to hear me say that again throughout this Bible study at least one more time. But again, the question was, what does Philippians 2:3 say about our interactions with other people? Well, this verse instructs us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility to value others above ourselves. Now, that's a whole mouthful that's being said in just that one particular verse. Now think about it for a moment and think about your interactions with the people that are around you and the people that you have. And remember, this is instructing us not to do anything out of selfish ambition. It's not that I'm trying to forward my agenda, which we see a lot of today, you know, but rather or something like vain conceit, but rather we're supposed to make sure those interactions are humble or in humility. And as we have them, we're to value the other above ourselves. That is extremely difficult for people in this day because honestly, we try to look out for number one. So when we think about this particular observation that we see, you know, this reflects the idea that humility involves considering the needs and the welfares of others first, not second, not somewhere along the line, but the needs of others, the welfare of others first, rather than seeking personal glory and advancement for our own selves. Now, consider some of the interactions that you've had with people. You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of you who can sit back and say, well, that's not the way people communicate with me. They've got an agenda. There's something that they want. But then ask yourself that same question. When you're having interactions with other people, are you doing so, you know, out of what's in the best interest of them? What is it that's going to meet their needs? Or is it something that's more about how you can advance or how you can get ahead? Or is it something that can personally glorify or advance you? Okay. See, now when we think about these things, we can practice humility by actively listening to others. Listening is a skill that seems to be fading to black in our modern day society. You know, I've often said this to folks, especially couples when I'm dealing with marriage counseling. I say, you know, one of the big aspects that we talk about is communication. And I said, do you realize that you're not having any communication if both people are trying to talk at the same time? Listening needs to be a huge factor in communication. So, you know, do we practice our humility by actively listening to what others have to say and seeking to understand their perspectives and placing their needs before our own in our daily interactions? Now, so often what happens is if we sit back and we will take the time to listen to others, we will begin to have a different perspective on what it is that they're asking, what it is that they're trying to say, and we see that it is something that is legitimate, that they're not just trying to take us down along the way when it comes down to our interactions with them. Now, don't get me wrong. There are those who are out there trying to have those interactions for personal gain. We talked about that just a moment ago. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of humility there, and they're trying to advance their cause or their agenda or whatever else that it may be. But there's another thing that we see as we look at our text for today. Once again, another question that I have for you, and it's this. How does verse 4 further clarify the concept of humility that we just discussed and was talked about in verse 3? Well, verse 4 tells us not to look only at our own interest, but also the interest of others. Now, this expands humility. You know, this gives it even a greater meaning, and it does so because what happens is when we expand the humility from consideration of attitude to include action along with that. Serving others means being attentive to what others need and how we can serve them. One of the great examples I know that most of you that are watching this know, and of course if not, you've probably been under a rock somewhere about the disaster that happened in the western part of North Carolina. And what happens is, yeah, you can have that heartfelt sorrow for them and all of the things that they're going through, but does it move us to do something about it? Does it move us to serve someone else and to put our attention on them and see how we can greater serve them? And I know that myself in being there with the North Carolina Baptist on men and driving the feeding unit and the tanker trucks up in that area, there were different things that I saw, but we had those ideas and concepts in our church to bring about the needs of the folks. And instead of just saying, well, here's stuff that we're going to try to just throw out there and see what's going to stick, we were seeing what those needs were and were able to rise to the challenge to be able to meet those needs. We didn't interview them and ask them whether they were Republican or Democrat or whether they were a born-again believer or whether they were not a born-again believer. All we knew was that here were people that were hurting that needed some attention, and here was a great opportunity for us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in the hearts and in the lives of those people. And folks, let me tell you, it truly does make a difference when you take the time and the effort and the energy to serve others and to meet their needs where they are. So what is one of the things that we can do to put this step that we just learned into action? Well, one of the things that you can do, and I'll just throw this out for you, is to make a list of people in your life who need you. Their needs are something that you can focus on and consider practical ways to be able to serve them this week. What are the needs of the people in your life that are around you that you can speak into or that you can produce something along the way that's going to be helpful for them, you know, in being able to to be humble and being able to serve them. Okay, think about that. Write that list down. Make that list, and then make a very concerted effort. I like to use the word purpose. Purpose to fulfill the need in that person's life that the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart. Okay, what's a third question that we can come up with out of our text today? Well, what example does verse 5 cite as the supreme model of humility and servanthood for each and every person? Well, the verse encourages believers to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. How do you have the same mindset as Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, you have to know what his mindset is like by being in his word, by studying the scriptures, by praying and allowing that Holy Spirit to speak to you. You know, you hear it all the time, you know, preachers and even myself who say, we need to become more Christ-like. And as you become more Christ-like, then you begin to have the same mindset that Jesus would have. Back many, many years ago, there was this, I think it's called an acronym that stood, it was WWJD, and it was, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus react in a certain situation or a certain circumstance? Would he help that person that needed help? Would he lend a kind word? What is it that Jesus would do? And this is one of the ways that we can become more like him, by asking ourselves that question, backed up in what we learn in Scripture. What would Jesus do, and how would he react in these type of situations? You see, Jesus is presented to you and I as the ultimate example of humility. You know, it doesn't say follow your preacher. It doesn't say follow your deacons or your mom or your dad. It says that we should follow the example of Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate example of humility, setting aside his own divine privileges to serve all of humanity and to serve mankind. Now, I got to be real careful when I say that, that people don't get mixed up when I say that. You know, Jesus was God made man. The big fancy biblical word for that is the incarnation. That was when he was born, and he lived that 33 years as a man, 100% man and 100% God, while he walked this earth. Please understand my heart that as Jesus became man, he did not lay aside his deity. Deity means his holiness or anything else. He lived that sinless life, but he came to live among us that he might be the perfect sacrifice that would provide salvation and eternal life for each and every one of us. So what he did was he set aside his divine privileges, not his deity, but his divine privileges to be able to serve all of humanity. Okay? Think about this for a minute. Think about areas in your life where you might be clinging on to privileges or positions, or those are the things that seem to be driving you. How can you mirror Christ's humility in those particular areas? You know, some of the greatest leaders that I have ever seen in my life are those that are humble. They don't tout their position. They don't try to shove that down somebody's throat. They don't come up with the threats of, I'm going to fire you if you don't do this or if you don't do that. But rather what they do is they lead by example. Sure, they've got the privileges of the power or the position or what have you, but they don't lord that over people, and they don't set up their identity in their job or their identity in their house or their bank account or any of these other things, but rather they set up their identity in who Christ is and the humility that he had as he served among the people and as he walked the highways and byways and as he is still our Savior today, okay? All right, question number 4 for us to think about. In what specific ways did Jesus demonstrate humility and servanthood according to verse 6 and 7? Well, Jesus, being in the very nature of God, remember what I said a moment ago, he was God made man. He was still 100% God. So Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant as he walked and talked among all mankind. I always love the Christmas story, and one of the biggest points in the Christmas story was at the birth of Christ, those that the announcement was made to, And one of the first group that the announcement was made to was the shepherds. And if you knew of anything of the shepherds historically in that time, in that day and age, the shepherds were the lowliest of low. In other words, you didn't want your child to grow up and be a shepherd. You know, you were hoping that you didn't hear them say, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? Ooh, I want to be a shepherd. They were kind of considered the bottom of the barrel. But the bottom line is that angelic announcement of the birth of Christ went to them. And one of the things I love is it says that they immediately said, let's go and see this thing which the angel has foretold us about. So the shepherds actually showed up at the birth of Christ there around the manger with the animals present and with Joseph and Mary. Whereas there was also an announcement by way of the star that was made to the Magi, or the wise men. Now, these were the ones that were considered to be the affluent of that day. And they followed that star to be able to come into the presence of the Christ child. And we know that they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But, and I may have mentioned this around Christmas time, but do you realize that that journey took those Magi almost 2 years? If you go back and you read the different gospel accounts of the Magi, it says, and when they came into the house, they saw the Christ child and they presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that Jesus was born and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was laid in a manger. And then further proof was the fact that if you remember, the Magi saw Herod. And Herod said, once you find the Christ child, come back, let me know. I want to go worship him too. Which, that was a farce. He didn't want to. He wanted to kill him. I mean, he saw him as competition to the throne. So what happened was the Magi, being warned in a dream, didn't go back to Herod. And therefore, Herod, you know, got a little uptight. And you know, he said, I've got to eliminate this king somehow. Now, we all probably remember the story of the fact that Herod ordered the death of all the male children 2 years of age and under. And the word of God says, according to the time in which the Magi had told him that the star had appeared in the sky. So that was the reason why Herod wanted all the male children put to death at 2 years of age and younger, was simply because he said, well, if I do that, then I'll make sure I get the one who was born to be the Christ child, or born to be the king. So, you know, we know that even the most affluent were not the first ones that were around the manger. I said all that simply to say that Christ isn't just relegated to the powerful and the rich and the wealthy. It is for everyone. The ground around the cross is all level, and the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross is for each and every one of us, no matter what your socio or economic status may be. Okay, so Jesus, being that very nature of God, says didn't consider equality with God as something that he was going to use for his own advantage. He didn't lord that over people. He didn't tout that over people. I love that hymn that said he could have called 10,000 angels to take him off the cross, and he could have, but he knew that was not the plan of the Father, and he knew that there would be no way of salvation unless he went through with the Father's plan of the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. It said he made himself into nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, okay? So despite his divine status, Jesus willingly took on the human form and served others. Boy, that's a big thing. Are we serving others in a Christ-like manner? Are we more interested in somebody serving us? I like what the word tells us. It said Christ didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And if you want to emulate Christ, if you want to be like him, then you need to become a servant just like he was. You know, we need to exemplify true humility and sacrifice as we serve others along the way, just like Jesus did. Okay, so how can we apply that? Well, think about it. You know, this week, why don't you choose one way that you can make yourself nothing. If I put that in quotes, I would say it that way. Make yourself nothing for the sake of others, or for the sake of somebody else. Perhaps by volunteering your time somewhere. Perhaps by stepping back from a position of control, or giving generously without seeking any kind of recognition or anything else. Just doing something because the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do that. that you might truly be the hands and the feet of the Master in the life of somebody else, and particularly somebody who needs that touch of the Master's hand through you this particular week. Okay? Fifth question that we have. Why is the phrase becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, critical in our understanding Jesus' humility as we read about it in verse 8? Well, this highlights the extent of Jesus' humility, showing that he not only took on human form, but he willingly submitted to the lowest and most painful form of human punishment known to mankind, particularly at that time, and that was crucifixion. Think about it that way. This highlights that he didn't just take on human form, but he also willingly, big key word, willingly submitted to the lowest and the most painful form of human punishment that could be dispersed. Okay? See, Jesus' obedience to the point of death underscores his commitment to God's redemptive plan in the lives of each and every person that has ever been born on this planet, placing the well-being of humanity above his own comfort and his own life. Christ went to the cross for you and I. Okay? Listen, can we identify some actions in our life where we can demonstrate obedience even when it requires significant personal sacrifice and trust in God's plan? I've often told people this: when you serve the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you many things to serve Him. But I will promise you that you will never sacrifice anything beyond what the Lord is going to give back to you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I have never lost anything in serving the Master. Even if I've had to sacrifice money, the Lord's always somehow replaced it. I've said before, when it comes down to time, if you use it and utilize it properly, there will be time to do the things that need to be done. But make it a priority in your life. Identify those actions where you can demonstrate obedience to the Father, even when it requires that significant personal sacrifice and the fact that you're trusting in God's plan. Okay, so what is the main thrust or the main biblical truth that we can learn from our text today? Well, that's simply this: that true humility mirrors Christ's sacrifice, placing the needs and the well-being of others above our own, and being willing to serve selflessly. That's the biblical truth right there in a nutshell. If you had to call that the thesis statement for what our text today is, that's what it would be. And it causes us to have to actually, sit back and take a look at our lives and evaluate and allow the Holy Spirit to work within our lives to make us understand what God wants us to understand about being humble, about serving Him. There's a lot of people who claim to follow Jesus, but there's not a whole lot of people that are willing to serve Him. I hope and pray that you're not one of those. So what are some things that we can do this week as we go about our lives that we can make application to what it is that we've learned in God's Word today? Well, this week, I want to challenge you to actively seek a situation where you can serve someone or prioritize their needs above your own, embodying the humility of Christ. Okay? Now, reflect on this experience and share your thoughts with a friend, with a fellow brother in Christ, or maybe if you're part of a small group, be able to share those things with them, not as a point to brag about it, but as a point to brag on what it is that the Lord is going to do. And listen, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to what that is. As you begin to actively think about it, the Holy Spirit brings to your mind a situation where you can be of service to someone. And in doing so, that means that you are going to prioritize their needs above your own. It could be in the workplace, it could be in your neighborhood, it could be in your church. But that's your challenge for this week. Find a way to become more Christ-like by showing the humility and the servant's heart that the Lord has put in each and every one of His children. And remember, to esteem the other as greater or better than your own. Well, that's hard to do because, you know what, to be honest with you, we're all pretty selfish, aren't we? You know, when we think about it, we do want what's right or what's best for us. Obviously, wanting what's right or best is not a bad thing. But the question is, have you ever sacrificed for somebody else? You know, taken away from your own self and being able to give to somebody else that it might enhance their life. Man, I love this particular passage. And how many times do we have to go back and say, you know what, we need to esteem the other as better than themselves. We need to be good listeners. We live in a world today where listening is such a struggle. Particularly, I see it. I watch the political discussions. I watch people go at each other that differ in opinions in public, on social media. I've seen it with born-again Christians. I've seen it with people who are not born-again Christians. But the bottom line is, let's consider what each other is saying. Now, obviously, we don't want to do anything that is unbiblical, immoral, or illegal along the way. But you know what? We don't have to be militant in the way that we deal with folks. Remember one of the very first questions that I asked you after reading the text was about our interactions with other people. How, you know, when people interact with us, what do they see? Do they see a humble Christian person, or do they see a prideful person that wants their own way? Okay, now that doesn't mean that I'm not telling you to back up any biblical argument that you have, but so often it's the way that you do that. I've been able to have conversations with people that I have disagreed with on many things, whether it's politics, whether it's religion, or whatever else it may be. But at the end of the day, even though I didn't persuade them, they didn't persuade me, we still walked away being able to be friends because we had, we knew we were to love one another in a manner in which Christ loved us. And that is key, and that is huge. So you've got your challenge for this week. I hope that you will take that challenge up. I hope that when it all boils down that you will seek a situation where you can serve someone. And notice when I said or, and I'm going to go ahead and say and or, prioritize their needs above yours, okay? And may they truly see you as the example of Christ as you live your life out in a daily relationship with Him. Man, what a great, great opportunity that's going to be. So we're going to pray to that end here in just a moment, but I want to let you know what we're going to be looking at this week as far as our scriptures go and where we'll be next week as we gather for our Bible study. So this week, I want you to be looking in the book or studying the book of James chapter 5. And next week, we're going to continue our series on developing Christ-like character as we discuss the strength of patience out of the book of James chapter 5, specifically verses 7 through 11. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Most people, when I ask, if we talk about patience, they sit back and go, I don't have a whole lot of those. And I'm going to give you a safeguard as well when we talk about this next week. So get yourself prepared for that. Remember the challenge that you have for this week. I pray that you'll take it up, and I pray that God's going to speak to your heart in a great, great way as you do based on His Word that we have studied tonight. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, we just pray that you will truly speak to our heart, that you will help us to identify areas of pride in our lives. We know that your word tells us that pride goes before the fall. Help us, Father, to walk with you and to walk like you, Lord, that we might become humble servants, that not only that we have humility in your presence, but that we have humility in the presence of those that we interact with on a daily basis. Father, this week I pray that it will begin this week, that you will help us to prioritize the needs of others above our needs. And Lord, I pray that you will just show us the great and incredible things that you will do as we walk in line with you concerning our humility and concerning our service towards you. Bless each and every one, Lord, that has been in the sound of my voice for this Bible study. Bless their families. Watch over them. Give them a great week and help them to look around at the situations and the people that they interact with daily to be able to see where they can be used by you to speak life into those in their midst. Now, Lord, we just pray you'll give us a great rest of this week, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you do not have a home church, we would love for you to come and visit with us. Our service time starts at 10:45 on Sunday morning, and we're located at 1715 Highway 68 in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We also do have other opportunities for discipleship throughout the week. We have Awana for our children. We've got small group discipleship groups for women as well as men. And we have Sunday school classes. We've got all kinds of opportunities that you can gather with God's people around His Word and grow in His grace and grow in His strength. If you make it, please introduce yourself to me. I would love to have an opportunity to meet you. And I pray that God's going to bless you in a great, great way. I'm excited. I hope to see you Sunday. God bless.